and Happy New Year, and welcome here to Gates Presbyterian Church. Friends, whether you have been your whole life or this is your first time this year, we are glad that you have found your way to this worshiping community. And some of the ways you can find out about how we are church together is in your bulletin. There are announcements about our worship, fellowship, mission, and learning opportunities. And if you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask someone around you. There will also be an elder standing at the communion table following worship today. A few announcements about our New Year's Day worship today. Please take a look at that bulletin. There are a few things that are in a different order today. We will be celebrating communion by intinction, so you will move to the nearest communion station. There'll be one on each side of the communion table and one here in the center. And then what we're going to do is, after you receive the elements, you're going to grab a candle. Okay, so you'll see some candles. They'll be by the communion servers. You're going to take your candle, make sure you've got your bulletin, and we're going to do our best to form a circle. And we're right on that number where I'm not sure. I think what we'll do is we'll try to form a circle that goes around the edge of the sanctuary, comes forward here, and goes along that edge. So we'll be more a little bit more of a half circle. And take your candle with you and your bulletin, and we're going to sing together the final verse of In the Bleak Midwinter as our closing song today. So you'll see all that in your bulletin. It's just a little different, so a bit of a heads up. Also, announcements that we have this morning, get your books ready. We are doing another book study on the book Between the World and Me. There's information in your Harbinger and also online if you would like to do that with us on Thursdays. That'll be with Third Presbyterian, Laurelton, and of course with us. Also have a guest to welcome today. Worshiping with us this morning is the moderator of the Presbytery of the Genesee Valley here, Hezekiah Simmons, who's an elder at Pittsford Presbyterian. So Hezzy, welcome, and thank you for crossing the river to worship with us this great morning. Good morning. All right, and a few announcements as we begin today.
Good morning, I'm Barb Chapman, and I work with the worship team here. Big day next Sunday after worship. Come worship with us and then stay and play. And the play part is taking down the decorations here in the sanctuary. So we do need players, so join us, and we have refreshments. I understand there's pizza and pop and who knows what all. So please join us then. Thank you.
Happy New Year, everyone. I just have one brief announcement about the Blue Island Coffee House coming up this month. It is on Saturday the 14th from 4 to 10. We're going to need help the Friday before with setup. It's from 6:30 to 9:30, so more hands make like work. So if anyone wants to willing to come down on Friday and help us out, that would be great. There's a talent sheet out on the kiosk outside the worship center, where if anyone wants to perform at the coffee house, that'd also be well. Talent is very wide. You do not have to have an actual talent to perform. Just do something. That's all we ask for. You know, if you have a talent, great, but, you know, just go up and do something. That's all we need. There's also a dessert sheet on the kiosk, so if anyone is, you know, still in the Christmas spirit and wants to make more baked goods, anything, we need them, so this is your chance. We're going to need them on that Saturday at around 5 p.m., and pre-sale tickets are coming up. We don't have them right now, but I'll let you guys know as soon as I get them, and that's it, so get ready for it. Thank you.
Thank you, Sam. Also, a note about worship today. I know we have a few children with us today. There is no Sunday school, and we will not be having a Thoughts for Children. So if you get a little wiggly and need to get up and stretch, of course, children are always welcome to do that. And those with very small children, the nursery is open and at any time are welcome to be there. Friends, let us now prepare our hearts, our minds, our entire selves to worship God.
Please join me if you're able in standing for the call to worship. Let us kneel in the darkness until we see God's light emerge. Let us wait with hope-filled hearts as Christ's image grows within us and shows us life. Let him speak to us and teach us love as we open our hearts to be his home.
As we come into this new year, we celebrate all of the joy and the hope that the Christ child brings, and we come to his manger side bringing all that we are, all of our brokenness, all of the darkness we wander in. Let us pray together our prayer of confession. Loving God, we confess that we deceive ourselves. We ignore the sufferings of others. And at times we even deny our own suffering. We brush over the pain of others, and at times hide our own pain. Forgive us, and show us how to love ourselves and to love others, knowing that you also have lived into our own story, our own fear and pain, and have triumphed on the cross, defeating death forever. In the name of Jesus, who was born, who lived, who died, and was resurrected for us, we pray. Do you feel it? God's tender mercy rests on you, heals you, transforms you. Do you see it? God's light breaks into our lives and shows us the way. Renewed and made whole, we see the path God has prepared for us, the way of peace, the way of hope, the way of grace, the way of service. Thanks be to God. Amen.
The first reading of the word this morning is Psalm 6. O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger, or discipline me in your wrath. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am languishing. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are shaking with terror. My soul is also struck with terror. While you, O Lord, how long? Turn, O Lord, save my life. Deliver me for the sake of your steadfast love. For in death there is no remembrance of you. In Sheol, who can give you praise? I am weary with my moaning. Every night I flood my bed with tears. I drench my couch with my weeping. My eyes waste away because of grief. They grow weak because of all my foes. Depart from me, all you workers of evil. For the Lord has heard the sound of my weeping. The Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord accepts my prayer. All my enemies shall be ashamed and struck with terror. They shall turn back and in a moment be put to shame.
Thank you.
We are a bit out of order this Sunday, just in time for the moderator of the presbytery to show up, of course. It's still New Year's Day, just in case you needed to check. What I mean is, if you've been following the Christmas story from last Sunday, in the Gospel, according to Luke, Mary gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in bands of cloth, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And you might be wondering, why aren't the wise men showing up for Epiphany today? That's the rhythm that we normally follow, moving from the manger scene with the shepherds and angels and closing out with the adoring magi presenting gifts to baby Jesus on bended knee. And don't worry, we will hear that story next week. But for this morning, we're going to move ahead in Matthew's gospel to the rest of the Christmas story, to the one that we don't talk about very often, what happened immediately after the wise men were warned in a dream not to return to Herod when they left their own country by another road. Now, after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt. Remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." And then Joseph got up, took the child, his mother by night, and they went to Egypt, remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." Now when Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated. He sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead." And when Joseph got up and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel, but when he had heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene. We don't talk very much about how the Holy Family left the manger scene, which is strange considering that the gospel writer here spent only half a verse on Jesus' birth, mentioning it more as a factual statement than a world-changing event. Of course, it wasn't the event that put the world on edge, but the person. And the very thought of this promise of God coming to be in a human being was enough to send off King Herod and all of Jerusalem into a tailspin of fear. So frightened about what this might mean, King Herod was enraged that he was tricked by these wise men from afar who did not return as he commanded them. And so then he ordered the unthinkable, the slaughter of the children, 2 years old and younger, in and around Bethlehem. Before Herod's soldiers arrived, though, an angel of the Lord warned Joseph in a dream that they must pack up, get out of that comfortable, familiar manger scene, and leave as quickly as possible. And so Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and by night went to Egypt. So many of these stories happen in the Christmas story by night and in the dark. Remember those shepherds just a week ago keeping watch over their flock by night? Joseph and all of his dreams, bringing him the news of the coming child, and now the warning to go to Egypt. And under the cover of night, the Holy Family flees. And so they've had a bit of practice now, walking in the dark, which isn't always easy to do when you first get started. Barbara Brown Taylor tells a story of walking in the dark with her young friend, Anna. You see, Taylor lives on a rural farm in Georgia. They keep some livestock there. And one evening, she needed to move the chickens from one pen to another. And this is a job best done at night, Taylor writes. During the day, they scream and they run around, throwing themselves against the wire and crashing into each other, threatening to have a heart attack and die right on the spot. Chickens are quite dramatic, if you have ever observed. But at night, she says, it's like they've had a couple cocktails. They chuckle a little when you walk in, and they stumble around slowly, and they remain quite calm when you pick them up. And so Taylor invites Anna, who lives in this big, bright city, on this nighttime adventure to move the chickens. The first thing they must do is walk from the house to the chicken coop, a path that Taylor knows well and walks in the dark often. The moon was bright the night Taylor is remembering, but she still brings her flashlight anyway, and she walks ahead of Anna, using the flashlight to light the way for her. But I can't see, Anna complains. Your eyes will get used to the dark in just a minute, Taylor tries to assure her. And she continues to walk. And a few seconds later, Taylor turns around looking for Anna, and she realizes that no one is there to answer. Anna is no longer with her. Where did she go? So she turns back and follows the path to find her sitting in the grass, crying, immobilized by the fear of the darkness. Taylor writes about that experience that it wasn't her fault. It was mine for forgetting she was this big city girl and that walking in the dark takes practice. But it's also the fault of everyone who taught her to fear the dark, convincing her that it is dangerous all of the time, under every circumstance, and that what she cannot see will almost certainly hurt her, and the best way to protect herself from such unseen darkness is to stay inside, doors locked, and sleep with the lights on. You and I are like Anna. We've learned to fear the dark. We're taught to fear that which we can't see, that which we do not know. We're encouraged to move away or numb our feelings that don't quite fit in to the prescribed, everything's going to be okay. How are you today? Oh, I'm fine. Especially this time of year. The expectation is that disappointment and grief and fear and anxiety don't fit into the twinkling lights, the tinsel-adorned version of life at Christmas that we cling to. One author suggests that perhaps the original Christmas, not just the part we hear on Christmas Eve, but the whole story, was marked more with agony and grief than the glitz and glamour of shopping malls and Christmas parades of today. For just as Mary and Joseph celebrated their newborn baby, they were fearful, heading out into the dark, knowing what they were leaving behind. Jesus knows of those weeping parents who walk in the dark, those who lost their children, those who have lost spouses and parents and friends, with those for whom Christmas is about learning to walk in the dark. I remember so vividly that first Christmas that I learned about walking in the darkness. The carryover of childlike expectations had worn off. I was a sophomore in college. But still, when I came home for winter vacation, I looked forward to relaxing, to the beauty of the candlelight at Christmas Eve service as we sang Silent Night. And I still got the flutter of excitement in my stomach, thinking about those strands of light surrounding the Christmas tree and gifts that on Christmas morning would be beneath the branches. It was 2 days before Christmas. I was out visiting with some friends for the morning. When I arrived home just before lunch to see an unfamiliar car parked in the driveway. My younger brother and sister were at a friend's house for the day, and the woman I recognized from my mom's work met me in the driveway. She said that my mom was in the hospital. My grandma was on her way from Canada, but I needed to come now with her. I don't remember that 20-minute car ride, but I remember so vividly my mom laying in the emergency room, unable to walk or talk or move. And my mom's friend handed me that plastic hospital bag containing all of my mom's belongings. And she fished out that address book and said, "There's a payphone in the lobby. You need to start calling your family." And numbly, I assumed the role of oldest child, right? Taking the responsibility, what needed to be done. But I had never walked in darkness like this before. They took my mom in for surgery, and she would be in the ICU for a month. There would be many more months before she would come home. When Christmas Eve came, I went to the service by myself. My grandma stayed up at the hospital. And I remember looking around at the beauty of the sanctuary. And I thought, this isn't what Christmas is supposed to be like. I sat in our family pew, clutching that candle, wondering about that little light and all the darkness. The sermon would wrap up well if I had some great epiphany moment to offer you. But that's next week. I left worship in the dark. I carried that candle up to my mom in the hospital. Of course, I couldn't light it, but I set it by her bed as a reminder that the light of God was shining there too. Years. It's been years since that happened. And Christmas still isn't the same. But a few years ago, I came upon the words of the theologian Douglas John Hall that would resonate deep within me and help me understand Christmas in a whole new way. He wrote that the only authentic light for our darkness is one that has been granted in the darkness. God meets, loves, and redeems us precisely where we are. That God is alongside you. God is in the darkest place of your dark night. You do not have to look for him in the sky, beyond the stars, in the infinite light, in glory unimaginable. God is alongside you in the darkest place of your darkest night. It was a very dark night for Joseph and Mary and Jesus as they made their way from Bethlehem to Egypt. It was a dark night for all of those families who were left behind. It was a dark night when Jesus gathered his disciples in an upper room to celebrate a meal. Remember me. God's love keeps shining now and always. Amen.
may be seated. And we continue our worship in reflecting in prayer about what we can offer God, our entire hearts. And as we receive our morning offering, remember, we all have been given gifts to share. Give out of God's abundance. Let us receive the morning offering.
Holy Lord, the branches are bare, the ground is frozen, our grief is overwhelming. In our hearts and all around us, it is a bleak midwinter. In you, our constant, the light, the solid foundation, when we cry out for you and when we just cry. Our loneliness is never complete because you are always, always with us. Please use our gifts and our offerings to show others your presence in their lives. Amen.
You may be seated. We come on this journey of faith, stumbling around in the darkness, but we do so together. So bringing all of who you are, all of your lives broken and holy, there is a place for you here at this table. It is our Savior who invites those who trust him to share the feast which he has prepared. According to the Gospel of Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took the bread and he blessed it. He broke it. Their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. May the Lord of light be with you. Our hearts are ablaze. Let us come and kneel down once more,
giving thanks for this gift.
We thank you, O holy God, for you call us from slumber, from our workplaces, from our hopes and our fears, from our wonderings and wanderings, and you say, here is my beloved child, Jesus the Christ, the light that shines in the darkness. So listen, follow, believe, and serve. And so we boldly proclaim, Holy, glory, Hosanna. Here we are. We follow the one who comes in the name of God. Holy, glory, Hosanna.
Even when we ignore you, God, and run as far as we can, you do not give up on us. It is your nature always to forgive. It is your nature always to be patient, even when we ourselves do not want to forgive or be patient. So you came as one of us to show us the way, to bring us into new and everlasting life. And again, when we rejected your living word, you forgave. And so we remember.
We remember your call for our lives, to reflect your light in the world. Into these moments of silence and sacrament, send your spirit upon those gathered in this place and upon these gifts of bread and cup. Feed us with the bread of hope, so when we leave, we will travel another road to defend the weak, to speak for the voiceless, to assist those cast aside, to walk with those walking in the darkness. Refresh us with this cup of grace, so we, overwhelmed with joy, can go forth to enter into the houses of strangers in our midst, to enter the despair of the lonely and forgotten, to enter the hearts of everyone we meet. And so we remember this final meal, where bread and cup were blessed and shared with new meaning. Here is life. Here is promise. You are my beloved. Here, we are sharing in your story and your light. We remember your life, your words, your love. We remember the words that you taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. It may have been dark when they left Bethlehem to Egypt, but friends, do not be deceived. It was not quiet. The sounds of children, of people moving in the darkness, would have been so audible. And we give thanks that Jesus welcomes all who gather here to this table. He did so by gathering his own friends, his disciples, around a similar table on the night before he gave himself over to the authorities for his death. He did so that they might remember and know that God's bread gives strength. He took the common bread and made it holy, just as he takes common people like each of us and makes us holy. To remember, he asked that we repeat this act again and again. And he did so by saying, This is my body, broken for you. Take, eat. Do this in remembrance of me. And knowing that we cannot live by bread alone, he took the cup and he poured it. So that we might remember the sight and the sound, and he shared it among us, saying, This is faith made new. Faith you didn't know how to ask for. Faith that will surprise you. Faith that will sustain you in your darkest journeys of life. Whenever you drink this, do this in remembrance of me. We break the bread, and we drink from the cup, giving thanks for the light of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shines for us today. At this time, I'm going to invite the communion servers to come forward. It's okay, come on. And I'm going to remind you to take your bulletin, fold it up and stick it in your pocket so that you have the fourth verse of In the Bleak Midwinter. As you come forward, take a piece of the bread, dip it into the cup. Do remember that if you have gluten intolerance, we do have wafers available. Also, take a candle with you. And we're going to do our best. It's not going to be a perfect circle. Nothing ever is. And we're going to form along the edge of the sanctuary in a half circle and sing together. So come forward and let us celebrate these gifts.
Love ya.